when America was founded, she was strong and pure and good, and her leaders on their knees were not ashamed to call on God. But our nation and her pride has turned her back upon the right, and the clouds of evil threaten to turn glory into night.
Strong wickedness has crept in like a cold and bloody thief. Those who know the Lord and do His will stand by in disbelief.
For the love of God and His country, we must not cease for a day. For the future of our children, we must lift our hearts and pray. Turn the tide, Lord, turn the tide. Open wide the floodgates of your power. Stem the flood of wickedness. Restore, revive, and bless. Turn the tide. Twisting laws and setting snares, He would take away our freedom and replace it with despair. And He laughs at those opposing Him as if they were not there.
But God's children cannot sit by. We must stand up and defend. For the battle is not over till our King declares the end. We must work and fight and meet Him, not as those who beat the air. For the greatest weapon in our hands is strong and fervent prayer. Turn the tide, Lord, turn the tide. Open wide the floodgates of your power. Never give up hope. We must not let them win the war. We must plead with Him who has the power to cleanse and to restore. Turn the tide, Lord, turn the tide. Open wide the floodgates of your power. Stem the flood of wickedness. Restore, revive, and bless. Turn the tide. Stem the flood of wickedness. Restore, revive, and bless. Turn the tide.
All right, let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Psalms, and we're going to dismiss our young people back to junior church at this time. So young people, you can be dismissed back there. There goes our future church. Why don't you look at Psalm 19, if you would, please. Psalm 19, we're going to look at verse number 7 and following. This psalm starts off talking about the glory of God and God's greatness. And then in verse number 7, it describes the law of the Lord. Notice very closely with what the Word of God has to say. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Now I want you to look at verse 10 real closely. And I want you to read it with me. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. I want you to notice what it says again. More to be desired. More to be desired. Verse number 7 through verse number 9 talk about the law of God. It talks about God's direction for our life. It talks about God's desire for our life. Verse number 11, it says, moreover, by them thy servant is warned. And in the keeping of them is great reward. This morning I would like to bring you just a simple message on a word, just one word, found in verse number 10. More to be desired. More to be desired. You know, desire molds our lives. Desire motivates us. Or desire destroys us. You show me a man's desire and I'll show you the direction of his life. Benjamin Franklin said this concerning desire. He said, it is easier to suppress the first desire than to satisfy all that follows it. Great statement. Strong's describes desire this way. It means to delight in. It's in reference to beauty, greatly beloved, a delectable thing. Desire, a goodly type of lust. Longing for. And we can desire the right things in our life, and more to be desired than gold, yea, than fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, than a honeycomb. The Word of God ought to be something that we desire in our life. The law of God ought to be something as we trust and obey. It ought to bring joy to our life. And yet, that is not what happens many times. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. This morning, I'd like to ask you a question. What is the desire of your life? What is the real desire of your life? Let's bow forward to prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, as we come before thee, we pray, Lord, that you'd reveal to every heart here today what our real desire is. And then, Lord, help us to compare it. Help us, Lord, to compare it to what the Scripture has to say. Lord, I pray if we find ourselves wanting weight in the balances, I pray that you'd help us to find refuge beneath the cross of Calvary. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless in a great way, guide and direct. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I really believe that there are some good desires that man can have. When you stop and think about the founding of our country, those 56 men that signed our legendary documents, they had a desire. They had a desire to build a country, a desire for freedom to speak, and a desire for worship as our conscience dictates, a desire to protect ourselves, a desire to have freedom from taxation without representation. Our founding fathers, as they established this country, they had a desire to build a nation, I believe, according to the historical documents, to bring glory and honor to God. You read every one of our founding documents, and they all mention God. They all talk about His sovereignty. They all talk about His providence. They all talk about, and many of them talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was a desire that built our nation. It was a desire. Where would we be today if Thomas Edison hadn't invented the light bulb? Well, the answer is very clear. We'd all be in the dark, right? Do you realize it took him 10,000 tries in order to make the incandescent light bulb? And after 9,000 tries of experimenting with the right vacuum and the right type of elements inside of the fixture, people came to him and they said, aren't you going to give up on this? And he said, no. They said, well, what have you learned? I mean, you know, you've had 9,000 experiments. He says, I know that 9,000 ways not to make it. He had a desire. He had a desire to go ahead and build a light bulb. I'm thankful for that. Henry Ford had a desire for every family to afford an automobile. His desire led him to a determination which led him to help people create the assembly line by cutting the cost way down to where people could actually afford an automobile as they were mass produced. FDR, during the beginning of his term in office, the Depression was gripping hold of our nation. And he wanted to try to bring our country out of the Depression. And he made this statement. He says, I want to have a car in every garage and two chickens in every pot. I still think that's a good idea, amen? Especially the part about the chickens, amen? Some people think this is a belt. It's actually a fence around a chicken graveyard, amen? There's something about Baptists and fried chicken. We just love fried chicken, amen? But you know, FDR had a desire. And his desire was, let's bring our nation out of the Depression, and let's have jobs again and good jobs, and let's go ahead and have our country prosper. I think that's what all of our desire is even today. We want to see God's blessings upon our country. But may I remind you what the scripture says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And when we start as a nation, start putting God back in our lives and in our churches and in our communities, I believe that God is going to start blessing our nation again. But unfortunately, we are living in a society that is absent from God. And if we mention anything about God in our society, we're looked at someone who is just a religious zealot or someone that is just a wild-eyed, crazy person. And I don't believe that's the case. I believe a person that loves God and a person that follows the Lord and follows His word ought to be the most sane individual that's out there. Amen? I think of FDR and what he said. I think of John Paul Jones when he cried out to the British Navy at the beginning of our country. He says, I have not yet begun to fight. He had a desire. Those are all good desires. The Bible says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor from the Lord. Proverbs 18:22. I was at several weddings recently. That verse is always used, it seems like, at weddings. It's a good thing. Marriage is a good thing. And I was listening to a missionary the other day describe as he was going to the country of New Zealand. By the way, Kelly, I've got some cards for you to give to Greg. And they said that only 30% of people in New Zealand get married. And of the 30% that get married, they said that it only lasts usually about 3 years and they're divorced. You know, that's not a good thing. Marriage is a good thing. It ought to be desired. It's a good desire. Amen. Even the Lord said it is not good that man should be alone. I'll make a helpmeet for him. And so it's a good thing. But you know, there are desires that are wrong. When man was first created in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 16, Eve saw the forbidden fruit and she saw, and as the scripture says, She had a desire to make herself wise. A desire. What is it that you desire in life? You show me a man's desire and I'll show you the direction of their life. Some people live just to make an extra dollar. John D. Rockefeller was asked the question, how much more money you want to make? And he said, just one more dollar. Just one more dollar. By the way, all of your bank accounts, all your CDs, and all your retirement program, 5 minutes after you take your last breath, doesn't make any difference anymore. Amen? What is your desire? Some people will desire, I'm going to be healthy. I'm just going to exercise and exercise and exercise. And I like that verse that Brother Matt pointed out. Bodily exercise profiteth little. Amen? Now, it does profit, but it's just a little. Amen? I'd rather go ahead and go to the grave happy and fat, amen, than go ahead and just be the spitting image of Charles Atlas. Now, I guess I'm dating myself when I say that, right? But there are some wrong desires. Eve desired to make herself wise, Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 6. David was up on the roof of looking out of his window and saw a woman bathing on her roof by the name of Bathsheba. And the Bible talks about how that he desired her. They said, David, you shouldn't do that. That is Uriah the Hittite's wife. And he still desired her. Wrong desire. Amen. And there are some wrong type of desires. There was the king of Babylon by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. He made a statement, and he was even warned about it. He said, listen, don't let your heart be lifted up with pride. One day he went out, and he saw all the kingdom that he made and all the buildings that under his leadership were erected. And he said, boy, I sure have done a great job. I've done all these things after my own desire. And God struck him down, and for 7 years he was insane. Ate grass like an ox. Wrong desire. It was a wrong desire that caused Ananias and Sapphira to be struck down in Acts chapter number 5. Wrong desire. We find that wrong desires, you listen to me, will divide families. Wrong desires will topple nations. Wrong desires will destroy lives, and wrong desires will send souls to hell to burn forever and ever and ever. Wrong desires will destroy us. The example is given to us over and over and over in the scripture. You show me a man's desire and I'll show you the course of his life. What is your desire in your life? There's good desires and there's bad desires. I want you to turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. And listen, bad desires do not have to dictate to you the course of your life. Bad desires do not have to dictate to you the course of your life. It says in Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 1 through verse number 4, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Listen, before you were saved, the Bible says that you were separated from God. You were dead, spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past, now he's talking about before the church of Ephesus' conversion, before they come to know the Lord. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. You ever wonder why lost people do what lost people do? They're unsaved. They're lost. They're just lost. Let's not be so critical of lost people. Because you were one of those before you got saved. Amen? And we ought to reach out to them with the love of Christ and with compassion. And show them the gospel message and show them the way out of the error of their way. I want you to notice what it says. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air. By the way, that's the devil. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had. By the way, notice all, that means everyone. Notice the word had, it is past tense. That is before you were saved. God has given you a new life. If you're saved, you're a new creature in Christ. Amen? You have been forgiven. You've been seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You've been adopted into God's family. Thank God for it. I want you to notice, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the, what's that next word? Desires. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Notice what it says in verse 4. Would everybody say those first two words with me? But God. You know, that changes everything. You see, when God steps onto the scene and when He comes into your life and He saves your soul, all of a sudden you have a new direction in your life. Now they can say the word had. Well, that was my past life. Listen, that was before I was saved. That's before I come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Amen? I want you to notice this morning, the Apostle Paul reminds us that our desire does not have to be evil. Our desire does not have to be under the condemnation of God. But listen, as a child of God, our former desires after the lust of the flesh are behind us. And now we ought to live for God. I want you to notice what it says in verse number 3. Among whom also we had, past tense, our conversation in time past. You see, there's good desires, there's bad desires. And Paul had a desire. Paul had a desire for you and I. Romans 10:1 says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Paul had a desire that his brethren, Paul was Jewish, he wanted to see his Jewish brethren get saved. He had a desire. May I remind you, the desire that a person has will set the course of your life. Some people's desire is they just can't wait till they can get the next fix. They can't wait till they can go ahead and get their next 12-pack. That's their desire. And they're hooked on that. Some people's desire is, man, I can't wait till church is over so I can hit the Sunday buffet. I'm not going to preach against that, all right? But you know, there are some people, listen, I mean, some people, they just live to eat. That's all. That's what life is all about, just eating. What is our heart's desire? Paul's desire for Israel is that they be saved. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, verse number 1, he says, "Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy." You see, the spiritual gifts God gave in Ephesians chapter number 4 and Romans chapter number 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 14, He gave spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit conferred those, according to 1 Corinthians 12:7, upon God's children so that we can serve God not in the works of the flesh, not in the power of the flesh, but in the power of God. That's why He gave us spiritual gifts. And I want you to notice, God's desire is that we would desire spiritual gifts. That's what Paul said. In Philippians chapter number 1 and verse number 23, he said, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." You know, Paul had a desire. He says, "You know what? I can't wait to go to heaven." Well, I tell you what, I'm right there. I've experienced enough of this world. I've lived enough of this world. I've seen the wickedness of this world. I'm ready for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back. Amen. Are you with me? I hope the election never takes place for the child of God. Amen. I hope I don't have to cast a vote in November for a candidate that I really don't want to vote for. Amen. I'm just hoping the Lord comes back first. I'll tell you what, that would be great. The Apostle Paul said, "I am a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better." In Colossians 1:9, it says, "For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, cease not to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual life. God wants us. The Apostle Paul had a desire for the people that he met, the people that he wrote to, that they would grow. I heard an old preacher one time say, not all the babies are in the nursery. And that's true. There are some people that's been saved for years and years and years, and thank God they're saved, but they've never grown in the Lord. God's desire is for us to grow. Even Peter talked about it. He says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. By the way, you'll never grow in the Lord exterior to the word of God. In 2 Peter 3:18, Peter said, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, it was God's desire and Paul's desire for the people, that the church of Colossae, to grow. It was Peter's desire for them to grow. You know, Peter had a desire for people's lives, and I believe it was a good desire. Paul had a desire for people's lives, and it was a good desire. You know, I've had people that had desires for my life. Not all of the desires that they had for my life were good. I didn't get saved till I was 20 years old. And as I was growing up, and as I was starting a new family, I had some buddies that I ran around with. And you know what? They were my friends as long as I bought them beer at the bar, and as long as I shot pool with them down there at the local pub. And their desire was for me to continue going that path. I found out when I got saved who my real friends were. And as long as I was with them doing what they wanted to do, and by the way, they had a desire for me. That desire was keep paying the bar tab. Keep running with us and keep carousing with us. I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. I'm glad that is all a part of the past. By the way, if you're saved, it ought to be a part of your past also. But you know, there are people that had a desire for me. I had people that they wanted me around as long as they could use me, take advantage of me. And that was their desire for me. But then I met a preacher, and he had a desire for me. He had a desire that my wife would get saved and that I'd get saved. And he had a desire that I would grow in the Lord, and he had a desire that I would go ahead and preach the Word of God. And he invested his time and his life into me. Thank God for it. And you know, in your life, there are going to be people that are going to have desires for you. Young ladies, you listen to me. You be careful. There is a bunch of fleshly-minded young men that want to have their desire with you. And you need to make sure that God has his desire in your life and not fleshly young men. You see, there are men that will have good desires and there are men that will have bad desires. But everything is trumped. Don't you like that word? Everything is trumped by God's desire for us. Amen? Everything is superseded by God's desire. And the question this morning is, what is God's desire for my life? It's found in his word. God's desire is found right here. Number one, God's desire is this: for you to be saved. More than anything else, God wants you to be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Listen, God has a desire for us to be saved. In 2 Peter 3 and verse number 9, it says, the Lord's promise is not slack as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. God's desire is for you to be saved. If you're not saved, you're going against God's desire. The Bible says also in Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 9, it says that Jesus Christ tasted death for every man. In 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 4, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. I realize that that doesn't probably help a Calvinist float his boat. But listen, it doesn't make any difference. That's Bible, amen? We need to understand that God wants to save whosoever will, not just the elect. I want you to notice, when Jesus Christ was on the cross of Calvary, he cried out in Luke 23, 34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I believe that as he was saying that, he was in reference to all classes and all makes of all kinds of people. It included everyone. God's desire for you is to be saved. God's desire for you, like the Apostle Peter, is to grow in the Lord. God wants you to grow. By the way, you'll never grow exterior to the Word of God. I would challenge you, take a few minutes every day and read the Word of God. If you would just go ahead and take one chapter out of Proverbs every day, every month you can read all the way through the book of Proverbs. Every month. Just read through it. And today I read, this morning, I read Proverbs chapter number 2. And then I have a New Testament passage that I read, and I actually have systematic reading. I'm going through the scripture. Listen, give the Lord a half an hour of your day. Give him a half an hour. You know, Martin Luther said this. Martin Luther said, I cannot get anything done in my life until I spend at least 4 hours every morning in prayer and in the Word. And you know, listen, if I would suggest that to us, we'd say, man, I couldn't get anything done if I spent 4 hours in the Word. Just the exact opposite of Martin Luther. God's desire is for us to grow in the Lord. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God's desire, number three, I hope you're writing this down. Number one, to be saved. Number two, to grow in the Lord. Number three, God's desire is to fellowship with his children. God's desire is to fellowship with his children. Listen, when God was walking through the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day, he was searching for Adam and Eve. You know why? To have fellowship with them. And he cried out, Adam, where art thou? Of course, by the way, he asked that question not because he didn't know. He did it for their sake, to help them to see exactly where they were, separated from God because of sin. God has always desired to fellowship with his creation. God has always desired to fellowship with the human race. The reason why Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary was to bridge the gap between sinful mankind and the holiness of God. And now, as a sinner saved by the grace of God, I can boldly enter into the throne room of God and I can have fellowship with him. It's all because Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin hath left the crimson stain, but thank God, Jesus' blood washed it white as snow. I'm here to tell you this morning that God desires to have fellowship with you and I. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 15, Jesus said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Jesus had a desire to fellowship with his disciples before he went to the cross of Calvary. Sin breaks fellowship. Sin breaks fellowship. When we have sin come into our life, God is holy. God is pure. God is just. And if we allow sinfulness sinful practices to come into our life, God separates himself from us. What is God's desire? God's desire is for us not to sin. You're saying, oh, come on now, preacher. We're all sinners and we're all saved by grace, and there is not a just man that walketh upon the face of the earth, doeth good and sinneth not. I understand that. There is none righteous, no, not one. I understand that. But John said in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 1, he said, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. God's desire for us is that we do not sin. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 4, he says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Listen, God does not want us to sin. You can have victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen? You can have victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. You do not have to succumb to the things of this world, the things of the devil, or the things of the flesh. Listen, we do not have to sin. God's desire for us is to have victory. And the Bible says, thank the Lord for the victory that he gives us through the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice also, if you would please, God's desire is for us to have an effective prayer life. By the way, how is your prayer life this morning? Did you pray this morning? Did you pray last week? Let me just ask a question. How many of you have lost family members? Can I see your hand? You have lost family members? All right. Now, I'm glad this isn't the case. But if it was up to your prayers for them, if it was up to your prayers for them, where would they spend eternity? If you were the one that was going to bridge the gap between heaven and hell, where would your family and your friends spend eternity? You know, it's amazing. People say, oh yeah, preacher, would you pray for so-and-so? They need to be saved. Preacher, would you pray for this person? They need to be saved. And you know what? I wonder whether or not those people are even praying for them themselves. God's desire is for us to have an effective prayer life. In Mark chapter number 11, verse number 24, it says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe and ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse number 3, the Lord says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You know, people say, oh, you know, preacher, they're just too hard. They're too far gone. They'll never get saved. Well, why don't you go ahead and let God be the judge of that? Why don't we just go ahead and trust God and believe God and pray like we ought to pray? You see, God's desire for us is to have an effective prayer life. I believe one of the reasons why our country is going down the proverbial tube is because of this one reason. God's people have forgot to pray. Because there in 2 Chronicles chapter number 7 and verse number 14, it says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. We ought to go ahead and be people of prayer. How much time have you spent in prayer this week? And then finally, I want you to think about this. It's God's desire for you not only to be saved and to grow in the Lord and to fellowship with His, for God to fellowship with His children and for you not to sin, for you to have an effective prayer life. But God's desire for you is to live for Him. I want you to look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And I want you to see what the Apostle Paul said. Oh, it's probably a familiar verse to you. But I want you to see it. The Apostle Paul said, I beseech. That word means beg. Paul is begging. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present. That word present is an interesting word. If you study that word out in the Greek, it's in reference to a sacrificial offering. It's a one-time offering. You know, there ought to come a time in your life where once and for all, you get it settled, I'm going to become a living sacrifice for God. The old Pentecostals and the old holiness group, they would call it the second work of grace. Now, I believe that there's some error in that teaching because there are hundreds of works of grace in God's children's lives. Amen? But I understand the point that we ought to come to the point in our life where we ought to say, you know what? God, I'm selling out to you. Today, I'm going to sell out to you and I'm going to give everything to you, Lord. I'm going to take myself out of the equation. Lord, whatever you have for me is all right. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your, what is it?
Reasonable
service. Listen, it's not unreasonable to serve God. It's not unreasonable to pray. It's not unreasonable to give. It's not unreasonable to go to church. It's not unreasonable to witness. You look at what Jesus Christ did for us upon the cross of Calvary, amen? It's not unreasonable to live for God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Hallelujah for that. Listen, how do I become transformed? How do I become changed? By the renewing of my mind. How do I renew my mind? Right here. I take this book. I read this book. I study this book. I memorize. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119, verse number 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. With my whole heart have I desired thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. We need to go ahead and make sure that the word of God is there down inside of our hearts. Listen, God's desire for us is to sell out. God's desire for us is to live for him. I remember a friend of mine years ago used to sing a song. It's my desire to live for Jesus. It's my desire to live for him. Though often I fail him and bring him much shame, it's my desire to live for him. If you could see where Jesus brought me from to where I am today, then you would know the reason why I love him so. You can take the world and all of its riches. I don't need earth's fame. It's my desire. It's my desire to live for him. In Psalm 37, verse number 4, it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. The word delight means to be soft and pliable, like putty, like clay in the master potter's hand. Delight thyself also in the Lord. You allow yourself to be molded into his image. And God will give you the desires of your heart. Let's make sure that they are good desires and not bad desires. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed.